You're with Annie on 3CR Breakfast, and there was some great news today. Well, yesterday, actually. The charges have been dropped against Bernard Collaery, and we've got Andy from the Australian East Timor Friendship Association South Australia, who is also as happy as we are. G'day, Andy. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks, Annie. How are you?
Good. Now, of course, you're part of a group of people who are particularly interested in the fact that Bernard Collaery has been had his charges dropped, because it was from the shores of East Timor that this controversy began.
Well, that's right, yes. But Bernard Collaery has played a very important role in the whole struggle for East Timor to get control of its resources. I don't know if people would remember, but in 2004, just after Timor won its independence, the new leaders had to work with the negotiate with Australian leaders, especially Alexander Downer and John Howard, about the resources in the Timor Sea. And the Australians ensured that there would not be a maritime boundary halfway between the coasts of our two countries, and they wanted to make sure that they got a huge amount of the resources in what would be Timor's half of the sea. See, under the law of the sea, normally between two countries, there's a maritime boundary halfway between the two coasts. And they tried to deny the Timorese that so they could take more of their resources. And it was Witness K, who was appointed or ordered by Downer to spy on the East Timorese to find out what their position would be in negotiations. Witness K's name cannot be mentioned. I don't even know what it is. But he was working for the Australian Security Intelligence Services, ASIS, and they put in bugs in meeting rooms in the government offices in Dili. And so that was how it was all set up in the first place by Australia.
And it's interesting because Bernard was the person who actually represented Timor-Leste government in the International Permanent Court of Arbitration to overthrow the totally unfair and exploitative certain...
Well, yes, that's right.
And that's what he's considered a hero in Timor-Leste, isn't he?
And he's considered a hero by Australians who work in solidarity with Timor as well, because he's been a long-time friend of Xanana Gusmão and José Ramos Horta. And when Witness K came forward and said, look, this has happened, he said, I've got a crisis of conscience, because what we did had nothing to do with Australia's security. It had everything to do with Australian leaders trying to defraud the East Timorese and prevent them from having their access to all of their resources, just after they had 24 years of fascist terrorism in their country because of the Indonesian military occupation, which saw a third of the population die and 80% of its infrastructure totally destroyed.
But it's interesting as well, because when witness K came forward and he required legal assistance, he was sent to Bernard.
He was sent to where?
To Bernard Collaery to represent him.
Oh, right. Well, when this happened, and Jenana discovered that, the then president discovered that the spying had occurred, he decided that the agreement, which was called CMAT, Certain Maritime Agreements in the Timor Sea, decided that they weren't going to abide by that, and they went to the International Criminal Court of Arbitration to have it overturned. And of course, the great thing was that Bernard was a key lawyer representing the Timorese government. And he also became the key lawyer looking after Witness K.
But it's interesting that should be the case, because it was quite clear that Bernard Collaery had already shown that he was a great supporter of Timor-Leste. And so there was a strange thing that Witness K should be represented by Bernard. And then subsequently, Bernard Collaery gets charged with, in fact, I'm not even sure what he was charged with, except that it was apparently in country's interest that he should be charged.
Oh, well, when because the Timorese took that move, the Australian government decided that that they had breached Australian security. Now, they hadn't breached Australian security at all. That was a total fabrication by the Liberal government. What they had done was to stop the Australian government from stealing East Timor's resources. And, you've heard, well, we certainly didn't put it in the press release, but when Witness K was going to be sent to The Hague to be a witness in the case at the Permanent Court, the Australian government took his passport. They also raided his house. In addition, when I say they, the Australian government did, it was ASIO, Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, raided Bernard Collaery's office and house to get important material.
Yeah, bizarre stuff.
And the court responded and said, look, because I've got ahead of myself, I should say that it stopped Witness K from being a witness. So, in other words, the Australian government was trying to subvert the course of justice.
Well, I'll have to say that it's a great day that the new Attorney General has basically squashed the case. I don't know what's going to happen next. It makes me wonder if Bernard Collaery will sue them. But, you know, who knows? But there are other people, whistleblowers, that are affected by the last government's behaviour, like David Bridie and Richard Boyle, who whistleblew on the tax department's...
That's right. And yeah, he's facing 160 years imprisonment. Just 15 years less than Julian Assange.
Yeah, well, then, of course, there's Julian Assange, of course.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if the government will take... We are very grateful that the government's taken this step, but really, the Labor Party could have prevented this rip-off way back during the Rudd-Gillard years, and they didn't do it. They could have stopped this a long time ago and they didn't, but we're now grateful they've done it. But it should have happened a lot earlier.
Yeah. And, of course, leading the charge has been the Alliance Against Political Prosecutions, and I guess they're going to be continuing on to try and work on positive outcomes for these other people.
Yeah, so Catherine Kelly and Susan Connolly, who are co-conveners, have been wonderful on this. And Susan has just written a book, actually, about the way the Timorese have been treated, which looks at both Australia's role during the time that the Indonesian military occupied the country, but also looking at the way Australia attempted to defraud the Timorese people. The other thing is that Bernard Collaery has written a book, Oil Under Troubled Water, which is an excellent read. But what it shows is that the oil companies got away with, as they say in Australian parlance, blue murder, because it's not only natural gas and oil that's in the Timor Sea, there is also helium. And the Woodside, the major company operating in the Timor Sea, knew very well there was a lot of helium, which is now used in space science and other industries, and it's worth a lot of money. They established a processing plant in Darwin just to get the helium, and neither government knew about this, and neither government, neither the Timorese nor the Australian government, were told that this was so, and as a result, they've lost any sort of income from that resource that really belongs to both countries. So both peoples have been defrauded by the oil companies as well.
Well, Andy, there's a lot more juice in this story. Thanks very much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. That's great, Annie.